have just a moment of your time? No offense, but I want to get to know the real you.
All right, guys, definitely thank you guys for allowing us to come in and join the show. Welcome to the No Offense Podcast. For those of you guys who this might be your first time on the platform, my name is Matt Aronson, also known as Mr. No Offense. For those of you who have been on the platform, welcome back. As you guys know, on this platform, we like to have different people of various interests, or various people of interest, should I say, come onto the platform so we can get to introduce you guys to the audience. We've had people from all over in different industries come on and grace the platform, and today is no different. Today we've got a treat for you, because we don't normally have a podcast host. It's not a very common occurrence that we have other podcast hosts or hosts of other shows on the show. But today I'm happy to say we've got Earl Alex on the show. If you're unaware of who this gentleman is, by the end of today's conversation, you will be enlightened. This particular gentleman is the host of Sound Lab Live. You're gonna get to hear about that today, and he's also happens to be the vice president. That's not his only hat that he wears. So you guys are gonna get to learn all about him today, but not just from me. You're gonna get to hear it from his mouth himself. So like we always do, guys, go ahead and show some love. Make sure that you share out the link. You can either see this on No Offense LLC, if that's where you're watching this, .com. Or, you know, if you happen to have a Roku television, as you can tell, we are live on the No Offense Network Roku app. So wherever you might be your favorite seat, make sure that you get comfortable, because it's sure to be a treat. So before we get, before any further ado, make some noise for my guy. We're going to bring him on stage. We're going to kick this thing off. Say hello to Mr. Earl. Mr. Earl Alex. Here we go.
Hey. How you doing?
How you doing, boss man?
What's up, my man? Thank you for allowing me to be on your platform and speak to your audience, your listeners, your viewers.
Hey, brother. Thank you for you know, the support. For one, I got to say this, because I'm in the spirit of Black History Month, man. This is a beautiful sight right here anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's like, 100%. This is, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to us both, brother. The fact that that you even hit me up about being on the platform, giving us the opportunity to know you, brother, hear about your success, and promote you, support your business. We're happy, brother. We're happy just for the opportunity that we can both be here, man, in 2024 doing something positive. You know what I mean?
Same, 100%. Like, that's what it's about. Like, 2024, they say it's a really abundant year because it equals into, you know, the number 8,
yes, sir,
or the infinity symbol, however you want to look at it. But I think it's an abundant year because it's going to bring brand new connections. And if we are able to connect and maximize the relationships that we have for the better of all of us, then how are you not abundant?
You know what I'm saying? We're winning already. You know, we're definitely winning already, boss. I'm excited. As most people, if you've been on the platform before, because shout out to the people who do view us, that, you know what I'm saying, the support, they come back and they watch, then they know that this is unscripted. I really try not to get to talk to the people that we interview, because I want you guys to understand this is a natural interaction that we're having. And give you all the opportunity to ask questions if you're watching live. On the website, wherever you're watching this, I'm sorry, that's the alert. Make sure it's going off. On the website, if you're watching this, in the top right corner of your video, it will allow you to go ahead and enter the chat. If you're watching and you want to ask some questions and we have time, we're definitely gonna, you know, try to put them on screen for you, see if we can get those answers for you. That's one of the benefits of watching it live. If you haven't received this while it's recorded, just remember to try to catch us live. You can still put our comments down on the bottom, and I'll try to get an answer for you as well. But man, this is all about you, Mr. Alex. You ready? You ready, Mr. Earl Alex? You ready to hop into this thing, brother?
Let's go.
Now, I always say, man, every building has to have a great foundation. So we got, if you're really gonna know what it stands on, you got to go all the way back to the beginning, make sure it's solid there. Let's start with where were you born? Where were you born and where were you raised, brother?
So I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I've been in Arizona since 4 years old.
Gotcha. Do you remember?
That's a baby.
Do you remember anything before? Not from it.
Nah, I remember nothing from my time in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It is a story in itself, but my time out there was definitely cut short. Me, my sister, and my brother, who are of the same mother and father, were born out there. But, you know, when I was born, we had to make way to Arizona.
Gotcha. Now it's crazy because it's like those are two different, very different climates. So I imagine Wisconsin, I'm thinking, would be really, really cold. And Arizona, well, it's Arizona. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how cold your colds get out there.
Well, it's pretty cold right now. In fact, like right now, a friend of mine who just went traveling told me that it was colder here than where he was, and I believe he was in Washington, D.C. And so he was, and that's just because right now we have, I guess, a cold front came and it's causing a lot of issues. I'm looking out the window right now and it's raining, it's like pouring. So it's just, it's not normal like this, but right now it's cold. And people don't think of the desert as getting cold, but think about it. When you have a land that's kind of bare, you have nothing to stop the wind. So it may be hot during the day, but when there is no sun out, it's cold. It's, you know, it can get cold.
And that's why I love these sit-downs and interactions, because you hit it right on the head. I guess when I always thought about desert, I was like, man, at least you guys got the heat. Because I'm from Florida originally, so that heat, man, I love it. I'm really attracted to it. But when you said cold, I'm like, I don't know. Well, so what you guys averaging about out there?
2 months a year.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's not bad. I think I can go inside for 2 months. What's your average temperature out there?
Average temperature. Well, so if we're gonna say during the hottest months, the average temperature can be over 100 daily, easy. I've seen it reach as high as 120. Outside, like I've seen it literally reach there throughout my time here in Arizona, but I would say the average, if I was just to say year round and including the cold months, I would probably say it'd probably be around the 90, like up to 90, 89, 88, between 88 and 90, you know, because it's not, it gets cold, but like I said, for about 2 months and then it levels off. So,
by the time you guys get that cold, you're happy to get it.
Oh yeah. Well, none of us can take the cold. Not if you've been out here too long. Your blood gets thin.
I got you. So how was going to school and growing up in Arizona? I don't know if you're able to actually give out the names and stuff of school for you. You know what I'm saying? But how was school treating you as far as growing up? What were your favorite subjects, things like that?
Well, when we first came to Arizona, because I wasn't making any of the decisions, but when we first came to Arizona, it was like bouncing around from school to school, depending on where we lived. And that was based around the jobs that my mother could get. So she was a single mother at the time, 3 kids on her hip. And when she first got here, she needed places to stay and jobs. So, it was more like I was in West Arizona in Avondale, going through the Avondale school system, and then from there went east and then back west. So a lot of it was really bouncing around, but to different schools each time. And I really grew up a lot in West Arizona, and growing up in West Arizona, it was normal. It was like formulaic. Like, honestly, I did ditch a lot. I did a lot of bad things because I just wasn't a good kid when I was younger. But even then, I feel like Arizona, it had its issues, but you could stay. Like, Arizona is a place where if you wanted to come out here and live low-key, you could. If you wanted to come out here and get into something, you could. If you wanted to come out here and find, you know, I say, if you wanted to go and meet the mayor's daughter, there's a city for that. If you wanted to go and meet the hood rat, there's a city for that. If you want to go, you know, so everything is out here. Wherever you want to go, however you want to live is out here. So when I was younger, on the west side, it was more like Mexican, the Hispanics and the Spanish around. But it was like hood where I was at. I was in Avondale. So that town, it was older at the time. And as I was growing up, really just a lot of kicking it, chilling. We'd ditch sometimes, but you know, we would go and do music. Like, we would make music, literally using tapes. So we would tape over tapes, and that's how we was making music back then. That's really all we was doing. That's all I was doing in there. Like, we was just trying to follow a lot of the rappers we seen. But yeah, that was growing up for me. Really.
That's what. So you said, now you're talking about cassette tapes, right? Like, yeah. So you had the
cassette tape at first, yeah.
Man, that's taking it back, brother. That, how are you guys like catching your instrumentals? Like, were you catching the songs that you were gonna basically dub over? Was it because I know back then you had radio, right? We didn't have CD. You said tape, so CD. I'm assuming hadn't came out yet or anything like that.
Yeah, no, this was before CD. So we would have one speaker. So this is how my setup was and how I did it with the guys back then. I had one speaker that I was able to plug aux into the microphone port. And so I was able to do that. But we had like the dual tape. We had the dual tape. So on the dual tape, we could play one and record to the other. And so as I'm playing one part of the beat, we would loop that and loop that onto the other tape. And then, so I had another speaker though that was aux that I could plug in that I could talk into, and that would put some sound. So it would come out, and then I would dub that on. So I would just keep dubbing, but it would sound kind of terrible. Like, it would sound, yeah, not the greatest at the end, but it would be something. And so we could then play it.
I understand. Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar personally, but I know we've got some people who view us that they don't even understand where this came from. Nowadays, you can go now you can go into the studio and just done. So that's what's up. Who are some of the people you guys were listening to back then, Baltimore? Who are some of your favorites?
See, it's crazy because back then in Arizona, you'd be listening to people, and it's sad to say his name now because of all that has happened with him, but you'd be listening to people like SPM or South Park Mexican. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah, I know Political Prisoner.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah, definitely. I was listening to, of course, you know, we was listening to everybody. I was listening to like Wu-Tang. I was listening to Eminem. I was listening to pretty much everything. I was listening to SIBO, Corrupt, Spice One. We was listening to Black Market, Yuck Mouth, you know, all that. The whole regime, everybody, you know, E-40. That's what we was listening to a lot about here, honestly.
Bro Stevens.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. So I have a point of reference as far as. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You know how you got from there to here, in a moment. So, were you into any sports or anything like that in school, or were you? What kind of electives were you into, boss?
I was into. Okay, so I was into playing soccer sometimes, but I was into football, and wasn't into basketball as much. I was into football. I played baseball a little bit. I even did wrestling a little bit. Just wasn't playing basketball like that. And all the things that I did it for short amount of time. Like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is cool. Oh, wait, hold up. Wait, hold up. You telling me you can get ringworm? No, I'm good. I'll let that go. So I did things for a minute, and I wasn't bad at them. I just wasn't really trying to get into all the different sports like so heavily. I did things more during the summers. So in the summer breaks, I would, you know, get in a little sport programs, and well, actually, my mom would put me in a sport programs and things like that. I would get into some of the committees though. So like when I was in high school, I would get into the after school program that would do things or put things together for the school, like the What's Up program, which was when I went to Westview High School, the Westview High School Unity program. So it was called What's Up. And that program was dope because it would take kids to like a cabin retreat, and a lot of these children would come together. We would go through different scenarios and enactments, trying to promote unity within religion, race, and things such as that. As well as it was actually guided by an individual who is now known for you know, throwing different unity programs and things such as that. So he had different exercises and stuff that he would do that kept us involved. And so that was cool. You know, that program facilitated that, as well as had us doing different things throughout the year to just promote unity across the campus. So I was into things such as that. I was always into bringing people together. I remember becoming, you know, winning, what was it, like vice president of the student council at one point, doing things such as that, like just kind of getting into organizing and connecting people.
Student government, man. I get what you mean. So you knew even then, back then, that this was something that you were called to do. You were always attracted to trying to pull people together as far as for the bigger picture. Is that what you're referring to?
I believe so. Even when I do music, most of the music that I've done, like I'll produce beats, I will work with artists, but when I make a song, I like to make a song that features a bunch of different artists. Like I liked the DJ Khaled kind of Kanye West model of having a bunch of different artists on a song, but each artist adds to the entire thing to make it, you know, let's say better than the whole. So, better than each individual part. So that's, you know, I kind of always pushed, you know, community efforts and things such as that. I've been about that for a while. So yeah, I'd agree with that statement.
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up, man? Like when you were a child, can you remember? Is it ever what we end up being, but what was your dream? What was your dream?
See, I really didn't know. So I got into music. I started rapping when I was 12 years old. And because mm-hmm. of my whole, I want to help people and I want to bring people together, I thought everybody should rap. So I started running around trying to teach everybody to rap. And so I liked rapping and I liked getting into music. And then when I was 15, I started making beats. So I started making my own music. And so I thought I was going to be a music artist. I started meeting other artists. I started talking to them, getting to know them, and becoming friends with them. As the years go by, and people get out of high school and really start pursuing their music or their career seriously, I start finding out that a lot of the people that I had networked with when I was younger have turned into serious artists and are doing their thing, so I'm still connected with them. I'm still able to make music with them. I'm still making music, but not at the level that they are. So I'm like, how do I connect? A friend comes to me with the Song Lab Live idea and says, hey, why don't we throw, you know, these events at a studio where we can be making music as well as podcasting or talking to these artists, letting them share their story and helping them to get known in the community and across the web and across the nation as a whole, just get more fans. So to me, that sounded like a great idea. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? And he's like, be the podcast host. So I jump on and do that. And that works out because of a lot of artists that I know. But then also a friend of mine, AZ Friday from out here, who is an artist as well as a event host and does many things himself. He's able to host while I'm in the podcast room. He's able to kind of host between rooms. and bring artists in to speak on the platform, and I get to know more artists. I connect with more people. And so I feel like my purpose is it's like a living document, you know, to me. My purpose is a living document. I write it as I go. But it has been to not only connect and uplift, to teach, to educate, to bring people together in the best of ways, but really to create at the highest level, to produce. I think, in a sense, I embody what it means to be a true producer. And I don't mean producer as in just producing beats or producing movies, but everything in that sense. I love production. I've worked behind plays. I've worked on movie sets. I get into that at a high level because I like taking from the mind and bringing it into the this real space. You know, I like the whole art of creation and what you can do not only with your hands but with your mind and then making it real. So all of that to me, that fuels me at the highest. So yeah, I don't know a better way to answer that than say I believe I'm supposed to be a producer, and that's essentially what I think I've always what I've always been on, you know.
That's definitely a beautiful testament to your journey, brother. And you could tell you're your element, because even when you were speaking about it, you can see the lights. You know what I'm saying? As you're describing what it is that you do. But like you said, that I think was best was taking from the mental and bringing it to where it's tangible, where you can see it. And that's an amazing a feat. Did you always find yourself like attracted to like this entrepreneur? I feel like that's like a lot of entrepreneurs share that similar mindsets in their own lane that they choose to pursue. Has it always been easy as you find yourself being able to do this more and more, or are you learning? I know you said you learn, it's like a living document, but are you finding yourself doing things that seem to be easier as you do them, or is every project something completely different from everything that you've done?
I think everything has its weight to it. Mm-hmm. And everything is definitely been tough in its own right. So anything that I want to pursue, mm-hmm. I have to brace myself and know that I'm going to take myself from where I am to where I need to be to do that thing. And I think that is, so like say that I wanted to, and not saying that I do, but say that I wanted to act in the next movie that I'm assisting or shooting. Then okay, because I'm at a small level right now, I have that ability. We could discuss it and probably find me a role and do all that. And then I'd have to mentally put myself in a position where I gotta get my script reading, my line reading in the day. I gotta go through all of what that would be to me, bringing me from where I am now to being able to really do that. And that part is always, I think, a transformation. It's like, you know, when you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to change my life in this way, or I want to advance my life in this way, either or, it's going to put you at a point where you're going to be pressed. Something has to give, or you're going to have to you're really going to have to work it. So for me, I take everything for what it is. It doesn't really truly get easier in a sense to me. I think the want to do it, like the initial want, grows. But the going through it, the keeping it consistent, the motivating yourself, that's always a thing. It's like you kind of got to get used to that fact. You're not going to want to wake up the next day to do the same thing that you did with no results, and you're not seeing it. You're not going to want to. You got to just do. And that got to be built into the process. So if you like the process, if you can just say, hey, you know, whether I get there or not, as long as I'm good as I'm where I am, then that's fine. I think you'll do better off. Like, even you'll be ready to win. So, one thing that I like to say, and that I read, it was like from I don't know if it was the Art of War, but it was, there is no winning. There's only the preparation and the opportunity to seize the moment. So winning is a figment in your mind of some sort of destination point that you'll get to, right? Like, oh, you know, I'm gonna do this and then I'm gonna win, or this is gonna lead me to winning. But if you are prepared, if you work hard, if you're steadily going at it and you enjoy that part, then you will see the opportunity to win as just a natural moment. It will just be the naturalest thing that comes off of your hard work. And so,
you definitely sound philosophical, brother. Like, you like to reflect and think deeply, which is great, because I feel like those are things that are required in order to elevate, such as how you just described, you know, opportunity of preparation. I was going to ask you, you know, how do you know when the right situation, but you hit it right. You hit it right at the same time when you said it feels like it's the natural thing to do, because it's kind of like what you've been preparing for. And it just kind of presents itself as an opportunity. At what point did you decide this is how I want to approach my podcast? Because I think a lot of people, especially when you're, like you said, going on a new endeavor, you have all these ways that you could go. You know, there's all these styles that you could adapt to there, but there's also the beauty in creating your own. What are some of the things that helped you shape the way that you approach your podcast and the guest on your show?
Honestly, I kind of shaped it all on the fly. I wasn't prepared for it when I started it. So when we started doing Song Lab Live about two and a half years ago, it was like, all right, we got an idea. We're going to do this thing. It's cool. It's kind of reminiscent of when we would all come together and make music at the house, but yet we're doing this with real artists and people are paying to come. Cool. Great. That allows us to continue to do it because we have to rent out studio space and all of that. Great. Awesome. Now, the podcast portion, that wasn't added until like the second or third one. And then when we did that, it was like we sat down. We did sort of like this mansion party at my brother's house at the time, and we were in the backyard, and you know, there, like, we set up some microphones and we just kind of recorded and just was talking, and we're like, all right, cool, yeah, this is awesome. We should do a podcast at every one of these events, since we'll be at a studio and these artists will need to get known. I mean, what's better than having a podcast? So we ended up doing that at the next location, because we switched locations from where we were doing the events at. We were doing the events at Central Station Studios, which, big ups to those guys, and thank you very much for allowing us to start and get our grind on in the beginning, and it was great. We moved to Marmara Creative Studios, which is owned by Irock Daniels. He is the director out of Arizona. He just actually was directing the show Churchy, which stars Kev on stage, and got picked up by BET Plus and Spring Hill Productions, which is LeBron James' production company. So that, big ups to Aaron Daniels for that.
Congratulations.
But doing it at his studio, he has a full podcast room, and that podcast room allowed us to kind of just get going and focus more on the podcast. When I got in there, the first podcast that I did was with Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis, and if you're confused on who he is, trust me, I was totally confused. I had no clue who he was. I had no idea who he was. But then as I'm talking to him, to find out he was one of the men who helped to organize and participated in the Million Man March. He wow. worked alongside Dr. Martin Luther King, was arrested over 68 times for social justice, was a member of Dipset, was in the movie Belly. You know, I'm like, oh, so you're the first person I podcast. Okay. And, you know, I have questions. So
right.
Like, move forward and try to work it and try to make the best interview I can out of such a distinguished man. That was awesome. You know, that also hit me. You know, that was an experience for me. Hold up 1 second. I apologize. I was getting text right now.
No problem. So, I understand.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, it was really an experience. It was great for me. I really just feel like that sparked kind of a bug in me to want to talk to more people, find out more about their stories, and allow them the opportunity to share what is important to them. And SongLab Live allowed me to do that with music artists and a passion that I've had for the longest time, which is music. So it just all aligned. And doing that, I created just like the intro on the fly. We created, okay, when there's an artist that comes in, how are we going to do this? We'll just edit it after. So we'll do post-editing to give the best product that we can, because we had to learn the board on the fly. And so everything was just kind of learned on the fly. The whole podcast was put together that way.
That's actually dope. And man, that's amazing that you know, your first interview was such a person of stature, where it kind of, like you said, you kind of just kind of shift in the gear, because you realize like, whoa, once you realize the person who's taking their time out to sit with you. And it's just a different experience versus like actually hearing them talk and reading it in a book, if that makes sense. What were some of the more remarkable? Because I know that every interview is a remarkable opportunity to get to learn about a new person. I don't mean it that way, but what were some of the more memorable moments in your podcast in this 2 years and almost 3 years that you guys have been doing this so far?
Some of the most memorable moments is, you know, I've interviewed comedians. Mm-hmm. Comedians are great. I think they will throw something out there. They will say some things that I'm not expecting. And I'll just try to roll with it. But see, my humor is like dad joke. You know what I mean? Like, I can't hang with him at that level. I'm gonna say something kind of cool, but so that's why I like it, because it keeps me on my feet. So I did interview Drake the Comedian recently, but there was one, I think it was Janelle Williams. She was funny because she came in different suits. So she had like a gorilla suit, and I was like, what? Like, it was just different. And that was really for a friend of mine, Fleek's podcast. Fleek is my business partner in SongLab. So he has his own podcast that he does as well. And we were doing something for Halloween. Other memorable podcasts. There are some other memorable podcasts, some that are just like too edgy and just led to issues that I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
But yeah, like meeting a lot of different people and seeing, you know, just, I feel like when I'm talking to somebody and when I'm interviewing them and I'm getting to know them, I'm able to see into their world a little bit, so I can connect with them on a deeper level. And, you know, seeing the motivations for what they do and for, you know, the amount of passion and for the amount of dedication they put to it. And I know some of these people's personal situations. So then it's like that part right there and how they stick to it and then perform at such a high level, that part right there is always astonishing and amazing. And that's the part that I really always take away from each interview.
It's like, when you're hearing some of these stories, I know what you mean. Like when you hear some of this, it's amazing that they don't see how amazing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like if that makes sense, you know what I'm saying? because we were hearing it, it's just like, you went through what, you know? Yeah. And then for them to be still so, embracive of their, of who they're becoming and just to be able to move past it. It's just, it really is an amazing opportunity, which is why I thank you, like, again, for anybody coming on the pep, because I know for most people it's your life, so it's something that you've kind of got to go through, but hearing, like, some of us, especially when we believe that we've gone through some of the things that we thought would break us, and then to hear somebody else went through something like monumentally, like, you in your world, you're like, yo, that would completely snap me, you know what I'm saying? But the fact that they're still functioning, man, is you know what I'm saying? So speaking of which, you start this venture with your friends, you guys do this podcast, you're able to bring in your prior knowledge as far as music and production into this new chapter of your life. Do you ever sit back and wonder, like, do you ever sit back and think about how it's grown from the conversation that you've had from the beginning? What are your summer thoughts from that? What did it go like you thought it was going to go? Has it cultivated to be like, has it taken different turns that you didn't really see was going to happen? Or is it, you think it's going according to plan?
I would say it's definitely taken a turn differently than what I would have expected it. And yeah, like, it's always shifting still. So the stability in it is that, you know, you stick with it. You know, I think the entertainment industry as a whole is, it's always about finding something new, dynamic and innovative, something to hold in a high light. And with that, you can't allow your light to be dimmed when the spotlight shifts or it's things don't look as good as you think they should. A lot of times it's expectations that cause us to falter. But for me, I really think that, I don't know, like right now, everything that I have going on, like, cause I'm also working on getting even further into productions. You know, we've been doing commercials for different businesses. We're working on a short film now. We have a reality TV show that I'm going to be working on starting in April. We start pre-production, but then we go into full production in May. There's a lot that I think about, like, the road that happened during the road, but it's, to me, I know that if I stay consistent, I know I'm going to be around the top creatives. I know I'm going to be around the people who align with my frame of thought. I know I'm going to be around anybody who's looking to advance, you know, their ability to entertain, to show, to really put things together. Just because I know I'm sticking to it. So it's like, it's definitely not what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But I know as I continue on, it will essentially and eventually be what I want it to be. And what I want it to be is just in alignment with, you know, with my passion, with you know, my lifestyle and everything. It all got to just it all just got to go right. So it's like, I'm trying to remove that expectation of it's supposed to be this one set defined way, and be able to move with the opportunities that present themselves. But I do have a direction of how it should be. That's why I work heavily with the companies that I work with. That's why I have the businesses I have, because those are the efforts that I want to outgrow. And everything is coming together smoothly. Like I can't wait till I have more to just flat out say we're releasing. Right now it's Song Lab. Right now it's the Earl Alex show on Key Vibes Radio at 11. At 11, you can tune in on Key Vibes Radio. But pretty soon we will have a lot more. So things aren't what I thought it would be, but it's better than what I could even believe. So I'm happy to be on this journey. That's what it said.
Man, I could tell you had your heart in that, brother, and that's all it's about. You know what I'm saying? And that's so. I'm glad that you have that. I'm glad that the expectation is there's no expectations, and you know what I'm saying. And that's I feel like is that's what leads to my next question is we all have those days, like we said before, where you I don't want to bring it. I don't want to say it's like an expectation, but where maybe things just move a little differently than you kind of thought they would. Like you was just different. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't. It's not your best day. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you know you just got life. Life is life, and as we say, you know what I'm saying? In full effect. What's your inspiration? What is it? What's your motivation that keeps you grounded? It keeps you focused, because consistency. To those of us who understand it, we understand that means some days you're just not going to want to do it, but you have to do it because that's what you signed up for. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
and that's where the rewards come in. You know, if everybody could do it, it wouldn't be special. Everybody be doing it. So what is it that motivates and inspires you on those days to get up out of the bed and keep going?
Well, I have a son, and that could be like the most generic answer, but he does motivate me. So that is definitely one strong motivator. But outside of him, which he's consistently on my mind, I really think like this is what I do. I snuck onto my brother's computer when I was 15 to learn how to make beats. He didn't want me to be on his computer. He didn't even let me on it. I just snuck onto her because he was like, no. He showed me the program. He downloaded the program, showed me the program. I was like, oh, you messed up. Why are you even going to do that? Like, you know you messed up. I'm finna get on there. I'm going to find out where it is. And I don't need to know nothing about it. I'm going to learn the words. And once I learn the words, I'm going to click turn some knobs. I'm going to click on some stuff. I'm going to figure it out. And I'm gonna make me a beat. And that's what I did. And then he started hearing my beats and he started liking them. So he then started downloading more programs. You know, we had Cakewalk, we had Sonar, we had Cool Edit Pro. And then when he downloaded Reason, Propellerhead Reason, that's what I stuck on. So I'm still a Propellerhead Reason fan. That's why I make my beats. I just get inspired to move in that way. Like I remember telling my friend Fleek a long years ago, I was like, man, I cannot not make music, even no matter what I'm doing. Like I spent years as a web developer, and that was my day job. You know, I can make websites now and stuff, but that's not really my day job. But I did that for a while. So even while I was doing that, I had to tell Fleek, I'm like, look, man, I don't know, I might not even release nothing, but I have to make music. I didn't have a beat making program at the time, so he allowed me to borrow some of his equipment.
Yeah.
I think it's in some people to just go like that. I do have days where it's like, oh, it's terrible. I don't want to do nothing. And trust me, I feel that a lot. And it's not an unlimited amount of like unyielding motivation that I have. But I know that if I do nothing, I'll get nothing. That's the only other option. Like, that's all I have, to be honest. So I'm gonna get out here and work what I have in my hands. I'm gonna do what I can. Even if I gotta provide a service for free at first to learn it, and then charge for it. It's like whatever. It's the same way we were hustling when we was younger. We would find a way.
There it is, brother. It perfectly said. Perfectly said. What do you think is the most valuable skill that you've learned, but also what do you think is the most valuable lesson that you've learned to this point?
The most valuable skill is relationship building. If you're talking to people, connecting with them, that's the most valuable skill out of any. And that's web development, that's knowing how to work the boards, engineering, that's anything. There are people who have no real tangible skills, but then just know people and talk to people and then their whole lives are taken care of. Like, I know people like that. But the strongest lesson that I've learned, in the entertainment industry or whatever you're doing with in business or when you're dealing with a lot of people, it's almost like I want to take it from the Four Agreements where they say don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. Because people are really just reflecting a lot. And then you kind of got to watch your own reflection just to make sure that, just to see if you need to do any of your own shadow work. But I really want to say just keep to what you know and grind that long enough to where you wow yourself. Then by the time when you look up, you have everything you want. It isn't about everything in between now and then. It's just about really staying focused and staying on it and staying consistent that I see. That's the biggest thing that I see. That's the biggest thing that has hurt me in my career is consistency in some things. I know the things that I've kept up on, started, stopped, all those things. You do that too many times, people will look at you and think, okay, you're not going to get things going. And then also, things that you leave behind are dreams that you could have like really been right at the precipice of cracking, of making it something. So, yeah, keep to it. Grind until you wow yourself. By the time you look up, you'll have it.
Appreciate that, brother. That's deep, man. I'm telling you, these are the kind of things, the answers that you give, man. These are kind of things I reflect on. As you're planning on, because I mean, we can't see what the future holds, but we definitely know where we want to get to. Like you said, that will to arrive to. To just see it through, the idea through, as we're trying to cultivate, make sure that we're going in the right direction. Those are some of the things that we, that I feel like you should consider. Are you learning? And I guess I should ask you, when do you feel that something has come to a completion? Consistency, there's this, what I call consistency to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
When do you make a decision that, hey, this is the end of this particular chapter. It's time to start on something new.
When you've exhausted its benefit to you. I'm not a loyal to a fault type of person. And I also don't believe in everything is just about a tangible or material benefit. Some things are intangible and we gain from it. Like, you may learn something, you may feel something, you may think something. But if something ceases to give you what you need in your lifetime, in your life, because your lifetime, if something ceases to give you what you need, some goodness or to provide benefit to you in your lifetime, then yeah, that might be the end of that thing. And it's hard to get there, in my understanding, especially when it comes to relationships with people. That's because...
Get out of my head, man. I swear you're like on my next question already. Go ahead. Do your thing.
I'm just saying, especially when it comes to relationships with people, because with people, they are dynamic, they change, they mean so much to us during the time, and a lot of time we create mental representations of them that we at least want to hold as stable in our minds so that we can rely on that. We can hold that. That's an expectation that we have. And we have to let go of that. You know, just as we're growing, changing, and learning, so are they. And so it is tough to know when it's time to cut a relationship or to stop, communicating or connecting with a certain individual or person, whether it be for business, whether it be romantically, and even whether it be just whether it be platonically, you know, as a friend. It's tough. But that's I think is the real grindstone. That's where you know you're able to, because if you can cut off, you know, a relationship, then you can definitely cut off an addiction, a drug. Some of those things are just as strong in my mind. So if you can, you might want to start with food, you know, trying what you eat. You might want to start with an activity. Maybe you don't do this and you like to do that. But if you can cut off a relationship, I feel like a lot of people become attached and used to people in their lives. And sometimes you just have to let people go out of love.
Definitely appreciate you on that one, boss man. So let's get into these fabulous cuts, man. I mean, I had to hold that one off because, as you could tell, it'd be a minute before I come see you. I got to give it some time to grow. But I definitely see and visited the Facebook page, and man, it looks like you guys really, you guys really figured it out. You know what you're doing. Explain if you can how your journey led you to fabulous cuts, man.
So I went to a comedy show and I met my guy there, and he wasn't performing there. He came a little late. He's a comedian though. And he also owns Fabulous Cuts. And so getting to know him, I seen he had a need. He had a need in the marketing side of things, or really the management side of things. And he wanted to get more into the marketing side of things, wanted to know what his options were there. So getting to know him, finding out more about his shop, seeing what his needs were, seeing that the people who are currently managing the shop weren't doing it in a way that he liked, and weren't able to generate enough revenue to make it make sense. So we went in there and we kind of turned things around, brought in a whole new POS system, made sure that the people there are being compensated the way that they should, tracked and managed the funds better, and set that all up with an accounting company so that everything is good there, and just got it running better. And so now that's what I do a bit of my time. I just make sure to watch the system and make sure that everything is good there. Really, the owner and, you know, his sister, they're able to run it smooth and fine now. So things are running a lot better now. And I suggest people go and check it out. Fabulous Cuts in Scottsdale off of the 101 and Scottsdale Road. So get off of the 101 and Scottsdale Road, make a left or head north, and then you'll find them in the Greyhawk Plaza next to Barrow's Pizza. Fabulous Cuts. Now they're off.
We gonna get that clip for you, big dog. We got you. We got you for sure. Nice plug in. Hey, back to using your musical expertise in your daily living. As far as producing, how do you know what sounds generally complement an artist that you happen to be working with? I know when you originally start working with artists, they're different, man. They come in different sounds, ideas. You know, how do you get to know and build a relationship with these particular artists and find what it is that they shine in or what's going to be perfect for their particular projects?
So I like working with a bunch of artists, but I bring them on to my projects. So gotcha. As I make beats, I say this to everyone because I tell them, yeah, I make beats, but I'm not a beat maker. It's because I don't always dedicate myself to just making beat after beat after beat after beat after beat after beat.
I got you.
But since I'm used to making beats since I was young, I used to do that when I was young. Heck, I literally stayed home from school to just make beats all day. I got in trouble for just, you didn't go to school. Yeah, I'm making beats. Like, I just took the ass whooping. Just, all right, I'm going to make beats, though. It's what, 5 minutes of ass whooping for all day of beats? That's a fair exchange. Like, what do you mean? So, for me, I did that. Now I make beats because I have an inspiration, an internal need to make beats. So when I do that, I may make a couple. I may make one for the whole evening, and then wait a couple months and make another. Like, it could be that sporadic, or I may make some throughout a couple days and then go back at it. And then when it comes to artists, it's whatever they like. If they like the type of beats that I make, if they like the beat, great. Then we can figure out something and make a track. Work with somebody else, get them on it. Hey, who's gonna do the hook? Maybe I'll do the hook, maybe I won't, maybe I'll put a verse on it. And we'll just come together with something. And honestly, I need to be releasing more than I should. I tell all the artists that y'all need to release your work, and then I just sit on it. I know, I'm bad. I'm like the number one offender of, you know, my own advice, but.
Hey man, it's when we can acknowledge those things that we can start to hope to change, right?
100%.
So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Oh,
where would you like to be? No, I know you said no expectations, but yeah. where would you like to shape the journey to possibly head in what direction?
Hopefully, a song will be released right in the next 5 years. definitely music will have been released. We're releasing music this year, but and I did release music last year, so I ain't, you know what I'm saying, I'm just not much. I would like to just honestly be working on, if I have to be truthful, I know the production side of things will be going good by then, and I know music will be fine by then. I will probably be putting a lot of my efforts more towards the the IoT side of things. So I have a company called IO Possible with a couple friends of mine where we are looking to bring a new type of IoT device ecosystem to the forefront. And we're working on that right now. First things first, we help businesses through IO Possible set up their software infrastructure, whether it be what they need to run their business on their computers. So, you know, whether it be the programs you need or, you know, the website and your whole intranet and, you know, having everything built into it. So say your accounting, your inventory management, your project management, pretty much everything. We build it all from the ground up. We are pretty much an ERP service solution provider. And so we do that we're doing that actually right now to generate the income to move us into building our own unique IoT devices. And so I see myself in the next 5 years moving more into that direction so that we So the goal of IO Possible, or the mission statement in IO Possible, is to empower the individual, the individual, the family, and the entrepreneur. And that is so that you can take control of your future and you can own not only your data, but also your identity and your own value moving forward into the future. Because I think that's the true fight that we're moving into, that a lot of people are actually, you know, with every checkbox and social media app that you sign up for, are opting out of.
Man, I feel like we a kindred spirit. I don't know how we ain't met each other sooner, man. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about, brother. I'm seeing this like, yeah, man, this is crazy. What's your daddy name, man?
Man, my actual father's name. So my father right now, I'll say my father right now, who's in this state with me, he is Dr. Rodney Pearson. That is my father, yes. But he is not my biological father. My biological father's name is James Anderson.
So yeah. Man, if you was getting close, man, my last name is Aronson. You said, I said, I know, bro. We almost look at hugs. but no, man, that's that. And for those of you who are not familiar with IoT, Internet of Things, by the way, we definitely, bro, that's amazing. That's awesome, man. We could really have some conversations if you'll be willing to come back on the platform here in the future, bro. I'm serious. Now that we got to this part, I'm like, well, dang, what? Okay, now we can talk about it now. All right.
but that's what's up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For sure. Let me this next one. Well, these next two, are kind of deep. What advice would you leave for others that hope to travel in the footsteps, in your footsteps, versus, you know, somebody who may just, I don't know, they want more of life. They're hearing your story and you inspire them, and they just kind of wondering what kind of knowledge could you impart with them at this time?
I think, like, if I was talking to myself or somebody who was like wanting to move in my direction, I would say first, look, be smarter. It's okay. You don't have to. I would say everybody you meet is important. Par none. I think of it like this. Think of it like this. Mentally go with me here. If the greatest book in the world is supposed to be the Bible, well, just if, and then say the final, you know, New Testament commandment is teach every person the word or convert every person. Like, think about how personal that is to every person. Every person needs to know the word or whatever, whatnot. And, you know, it was so important that everybody would need to know this. You have to feel like what you have inside of you and what they have inside of them is just that level of importance. Like, you are that important. Your message, who you are, your unique life living in this reality space as of now, existing from second to second, is that important. But just as important is that other individual. Everybody has that level of importance. Now, having people feel comfortable enough to sit in that with you and to be themselves at that level, that's relationship. That's true relationship. To be authentic, to be open, to be real, to not feel judged. That's real relationship. And if you can connect with people on that level, then you'll pretty much be able to get whatever you need done in life without compromising yourself. You know, you don't want to compromise yourself in these relationships. Vulnerability can be a strength if you're vulnerable, but not to your own fault. It's just, if you can have genuine, authentic relationships and you recognize people's true worth, their true value, that will take you wherever you want to go in any career field or anything. You know, you get to what people value, you can do anything. You can sell them something. You can tell them something. You can eat with them, like whatever it is. Like that's what it's all about, honestly. So that's what I would give if I was talking to myself, or if I was giving anybody any true advice that wants to move in my footsteps. That's what you need to hold as at the highest value.
That's Earl Alex right there, man. My last question is it's always an opinionated question, but I know it's hard to answer. It's No Offense Podcast. You can answer it how you like to. Okay. There's no stigma, because like you said, we leave these last, like when we pass, man, or when we go to the next level, wherever that may be, or transition to wherever that may be. I always tell people, you know, when we're in school, we get taught about these people that existed before us. Normally there's a general consensus about who these people are at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's different things added into the story. There's things taken away from it. But generally, when these names are brought up, these common names, people have a certain idea of who these people are. So my question to you is, how will you be remembered? As your story is still being written, and I'm sure there's more to be done from here. How do you, not that you want people to remember you, but what volumes do you want your life to speak? How will you, if you, you know, as you continue to live your life, what is it that you hope to be remembered by? What is it that you hope your life speaks to the masses versus not what you want somebody to say at your funeral, but just the impact that you hope to leave?
That's good. That's really good. Because you're right. I do think, as in terms of my purpose is being written, like, how would you know your purpose until you've lived your life? Your purpose is as your life is lived. That's a saying. I need to keep that motherfucker. I heard that. I was like, hold up.
T-shirt. No.
Yeah. But for real, if I wanted anybody to take, I would probably say that a lot of the things that I do and everything that I'm about is really flipping the whole idea of where people think value comes from. Because we have this understanding, like right now, that value is determined by the marketplace. So that the marketplace is like, you know, if the demand in the market, you know, is high, and you have the supply, then value can be assessed. So if there's a demand, you need the demand first for it to be valuable. But I don't subscribe to that, because the existence of a thing makes that thing valuable. Without that existence, then you wouldn't even notice it was there. And then once you notice it's there, it, your need for it makes that value apparent. Like, all right, you know, if you wanted diamonds, great. But if you didn't dig the diamond up, you know, put the work into it and look at the diamond and say it's worth this much, it would still have no value. Like the diamond would just be another rock on the ground. It would have no value. So the value ultimately comes from you. You are valuable. You have that value. You give value. You are able to assess the value of a thing. So finding out that, like, I used to think, what about the extras in the movie? They just all dying and nobody cared.
Right. Just, another one.
No. You know what I mean? Like 150 million people just died right there. Like, for real. Like, That didn't spur like at least 60 other movies.
That's okay. That's okay. The main characters are still right here.
You know. So I'm just saying, like, I would think like that. In that sense. Now, not saying, I'm just saying their existence had a value in itself. It still led to the movement of the world. So I would want people to pull from my life just more of a sense of their own value. And I think that's what we do when people die anyway. It kind of, it turns our mind inward into ourselves and makes us think, oh, well, our time is limited. So what I have going on, it's valuable. I need to really put more effort into that. It means something. And it does. What you do now, it means something. You don't have to be lazy. You don't have to procrastinate. Get this shit done because it means something. It's valuable whether someone acknowledges it or not, whether you get a like or not, whether they follow it or not. It's valuable, you know?
Man, Earl Ellis, brother, you have really dropped some knowledge on this one here, brother. It's going to be a pleasure to write this article up for you, man. And it's been an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to actually be able to get to know you today, brother. I'm serious about having you on the platform. I treat next, like some serious next time, because brother, I feel like there's so much more that we could talk about now that I've gotten a chance to get to know you. And if given the opportunity in the future, brother, would you be willing to come back and sit with us here on the No Offense Podcast?
Yeah, and you got it documented.
for sure, brother. It'd be my pleasure, man. Do me a favor for everyone who's watching the tennis. Go ahead and let them know your socials as to where they can follow you and things like this, to that way they can support what it is that you have going on and be in the know at all times.
Well, you can follow my entertainment podcast at Song Lab Live. That's at Song Lab Live on IG. You can find us on YouTube at Song Lab space Live. Song Lab is one word, SONGLAB space Live. You can find me on YouTube at Earl Alex. You'll be able to just pull me up, Earl Alex, all one word, EARLALEX. On IG, it's EarlAlex.IG. On Facebook, it's Earl Alexander is my profile, but EarlAlex.page is my page, you know. So, I mean, really, that's what I'm rocking with right now, coming with the website, getting all that together. Song Lab Live has a website, so you can go to songlablive.com. Yeah. You know, just connect with us there. We do have music on Spotify, so if you check out Song Lab Space Live on Spotify or really any of the major Apple Music, any other platform, you'll find that we have songs there. So, yeah, and we're gonna be making more, releasing more music for this year. We're back, getting back into events and releasing music, so it's gonna be gearing back up pretty soon here.
Thank you, brother. If you a little bit more about Song Lab, if a camera before I let you go, how can artists get involved in this? Or if you can, go ahead and explain a little bit about what it is and why artists should get involved with it.
Okay. Song Lab Live is a music entertainment platform where we interview artists on our podcast, but we also throw events. Our Song Lab Live events are done in studio where we create music together collaboratively, and our saying is collaboration and education. And so within the collaboration process, we educate artists on how to get their music out the right way, on split sheets, on really going through the entire process to receive the royalties from the music that you create. So that's what Song Lab Live is about. But we also help artists, or really creatives as a whole, find their place in the entertainment industry. In that attempt, that's how I got into some of the other businesses that I work in. So, yeah, we're like connect with us on social media. That's honestly the best way that we connect to people. On our IG, EarlAlex.IG is mine, but then Song Lab Live is, you know, on Instagram there. Facebook, we have a Song Lab Live page. We have a Song Lab Live group. Our Song Lab Live page is followed by like 8,000 people. We want more. Our group is pretty big. I forgot the number up there, but yeah, join the group. If you see Song Lab Live on Facebook, we have communication in there too. Just connect with us. And honestly, artists we reach out to, if we see you're doing something, we'll reach out to you and we'll ask you to interview. Right now we're mainly in Arizona, so most of the artists that we work with are in Arizona, but we've done Song Lab in Atlanta as well. and we're continuing to do more. We're planning some in, we're planning one in New York, planning one in California. So we're going to be going around the country in a bit, but connect with us. Social media is the best way, honestly.
Like I said, Alex, man, this has been a pleasure, an honor, brother. I can't wait to see. We'll definitely have more conversations with you on and off camera, by the way. Just wishing you much success on your continued journey, brother. You're definitely becoming a hell of a man. Keep going, bro. Keep going.
Thank you very much, my man. Thank you. It means a lot, honestly. And we are going to be connecting. I thank you for the opportunity to be here speaking to your listeners and viewers. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Take care, brother. Be blessed. All right, guys, this is going to conclude our interview with Earl Alex, man. I'm telling you, this guy is phenomenal. If you sat through the interview, you watched it, I'm just telling you what you already know. If you did sit through the interview, or if you came in, after it started, I do definitely encourage you to go back to the beginning to watch it. It'll be available just here shortly on our Roku app as far as the save file. We'll have some clips put together and get out for you guys. But do me a favor, the best favor of all, make sure that you share this information with others. Make sure that you share that this interview exists, and that way they can get an opportunity to be introduced to Mr. Earl Alex as well and the things that he's got going on. Like I always advise everyone, don't wait on the world to change when you, in fact, can be the one to change the world. I appreciate everybody, every follower, every viewer, every supporter that comes through the podcast, through the network. And don't forget, today is Thursday. So, later on, we'll have the High Council on, as well as we've had some more interviews tomorrow. And make sure that you sign up for nooffensellc.com. Make sure you sign up for the site. That way you'll be in the know when we drop more interviews and more is available. Until then, I have been Mr. No Offense. You guys have been absolutely awesome. I'll catch you next time. Peace.